The big news, of course, is we just came home from another teen camp, family camp now. Teen camp I'm thinking about now. Oh, what a great time. As you know, every year it's a great time. And this one, I would like to take an hour of myself sharing about why it was so wonderful. But I'm going to let others do that in a moment. But boy, it was a real, maybe more than any camp we've had, a real week of changing for people, you know. Changing friends. Changing hairstyles. changing diet, certainly, but more than anything, spiritually changing and changing in the way that we go to God's Word and changing in the way that we know our Heavenly Father and walk with Him. And I'm still astounded at some of the things that occurred this week. So we've developed a little tradition in this fellowship where the Sunday after teen camp, we have some sharings, and then if there's time, I teach a little bit, a little taste of what we got into from the Word this week. I'm not sure if we'll get to that or not, but if there's some time on the end, I'll share with you a little bit of what we got into. But all in all, we got into the 1st and 2nd Thessalonians this week, and what a wonderful time in God's Word. And again, the teachings, I think, were very appropriate for our teens, because so many times in the prayer room, as we'd be going up there and praying and looking at the prayers of others, you'd see so many prayers for, you know, God, I'm here I am, I'm believing your word, I'm walking in love. You know, you got to help me keep doing this when I get home. And of course, that's what Thessalonians is all about, how to keep walking in love, how to keep believing God for a lifetime. So it was pretty appropriate for our teens, I think. And I want to give those teens and any of the staff members an opportunity to share with you about what blessed them. And the reason we do that, again, isn't so you'll send your kids to our teen camp. I'd almost like to say, please don't send your kids to our teen camp. We are full, no, I'm blessed to have them, but we're full to the gills. We're certainly not soliciting any more occupants for teen camp. And we're also not sharing it just so to say, hey, we had a great week. The biggest reason I like to take a whole Sunday morning like this and have these folks share is because so many of them have proven God this week. We have some who came in and didn't really know who God was or what his word was, and they learned this week. We have others who've even been raised in the word, but this week they encountered things and conquered things that have been troubling them their whole lives. And that applies to anybody. And I trust that some of the things shared today will inspire you to believe God and walk with God in an even bigger way, because I sure saw these guys do it this week. So I guess the way we're going to do this, are you the designated microphone holder? Okay, why don't you come on up? We decided not to use this mic for obvious reasons, so we're going to use one that's a little more adjustable. And any of you teens or staff would like to share this morning, why don't you form a line around the outside here, coming up this way, okay? And you can do that now. I know you want to. Go ahead. Who's going to be first? Phil, you're going to set the example? Okay, there they go. Every year this happens. 3 people get up, but then by the end there's 40. So you better get up and share. You have to. It's mandatory that you get up and share. Go on. Now what's going to happen is some of the rest of you guys about halfway through are going to want to share also. I'll give you a certain window of time to do that, but then I'm going to have to cut the line off at some point. So some of you who have things to share want to be thinking about doing that, especially some of you leaders who learned so much this year. So anyway, we've got some folks to start with anyway, and what I'd like you to do is if you could tell us who you are and tell us where you're from, because some of you aren't from Ohio, and everybody might not know you. And unless you're on staff, wouldn't hurt to tell us how old you are, okay? So it wouldn't hurt us, I guess, if you tell us how old you are, if you're on staff. But so we ready to roll? Why don't you come on up and you'll take care of this mic. I'm going to get out of here because I don't want you to watch me cry again. And let's hear about what the week brought to everybody, okay?
Okay. Yeah. I'm Tom Shuck. This is my 3rd year at teen camp. I was 15 this year, and just thought I'd share a few things about teen camp because there's just a lot of tremendous learning there this week. And like you know, we studied Thessalonians. We learned a lot about the hope, and before teen camp, I didn't know much about it except that Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and like we learned, we we can rejoice in that hope. We have assurance in that hope that Jesus Christ is coming back. And part of our hope is that we'll be getting new bodies when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, and that there's a wrath coming, and we don't have to face that wrath, because as believers, we believe Jesus Christ was born again, and so we don't have to face that wrath. But there's others that in this world that do have to face this wrath, you know, that like you can preach that word of preach Christ in this world, and so that others won't have to go through that wrath, because it says good, where you know, when you preach Christ, it's not in vain. Even if no one believes it, it's not in vain, because you're acknowledging God, and you're not seeking glory of men, but of God, just to glorify God. And that really blessed me. And some other stuff we learned about in the week was loving the love of God, because it wasn't us that walked away from God. It wasn't God walking away from us. It was us that walked away from God, and God still loved us even when we walked away from God. And Friday evening, I think it was, and Friday afternoon, I walked into where one of the places where we study, not out of love or anything. I wasn't walking in love at the time. And Tom came up and reproved me, and at the time I was thinking, ugh, I was reproved and everything. But after that, I prayed and I read the word of God, and I just noticed what a blessing it was that he reproved me for the love of God, because if he didn't, who would have? And I wasn't walking in love. Because, like, as a body, we edify one another. We build each other up. Like, someone's not doing God's word, not loving with the love of God, because we need to build each other up, because we're a body. Just really blessed me about that. And just that whole thing about how we can love with God's love, because God didn't walk away from us. We walked away from God, and God still loved us, so we can love with that love of God. And I just thought I'd share that.
Hi, I'm Lindsay Tatnell. I'm from Ventura, California. I am 14 years old. This is my first year at this specific teen camp. And there's just so many amazing truths that I learned this week. It was just really awesome. The love of God that was there was so amazing. I'd never seen something like this before. I mean, you walk around and everyone is looking out for each other. Everyone is looking to walk in love. You know, everyone's trying to see, what can I do for you? You know, it's not about me anymore. It's about, what can I do for others? And as you know, we learned a lot about the hope. But something that specifically blessed me this week was we learned just a little bit about what we can do now while we're waiting. And one thing that was just amazing that we learned is that God is beseeching us, you know, to walk in his love. He's not commanding us. He's not forcing us. You know, he's not bribing us. He's just beseeching us to walk in his love and to walk with and for him while we're here. And no matter if anyone ever decides to walk with God, it doesn't change what God's done for us. He still rose his son Jesus Christ from the dead. He still loved us when we were sinners. And, you know, he's still the creator of the universe. It's not like as if when we believe him, you know, it makes him feel better about himself or something, or or, you know, he feels like, you know, he succeeded because, you know, we love him or something. But it's glory to him when we walk in love, and, you know, and, you know, we just show, you know, that we understand his word, that we love him, we understand what he's done for us, and that we, you know, we just can glory in that. And a great example that was used in one of the teachings this week was that, you know, if 300 people were drowning and you saved one or two of them, you know, you're a hero. You know, you become a hero. But God has made it available for everyone to be saved. And it's possible that if everyone wanted to, everyone on this in this world could be saved. Everyone could be walking in love. And although that doesn't happen, that's something that's available. And, you know, so many people look to God and try to blame him for their problems and things. But he's made it available that every one of us can be saved. You know, it doesn't matter about your actions, you know, prior to believing on him, or, you know, any of your actions or any of this, you know, the sins you've committed or something. It's still available for everyone to be saved. And I just thought that was really amazing. That really inspired me. And I just wanted to share that with you. So thank you.
I'm Phil Carter. I'm 22 teen. So, and I was thankful to go. And Thessalonians, one of the things that you see come up over and over again was how they knew the election of God of those people. When Paul and Silas and Timothy went in there, they knew they were God's elect, God's people, people that God was working with to save, like we just learned that God had made available to salvation. And then the Thessalonians knew that these people were approved of God. And I saw that at teen camp. You know, it was Thessalonian teen camp in that sense too, where the people holding forth God's word to us knew that we were his elect. And so they handled God's word for us like we were God's elect. The staff knew that we are God's elect, and they handled God's word for us like we were that. And that's how everybody was. That's how the fellowship leaders was. That's how the people who came in. And it was amazing to see what happened when that recognition was there, that God was working, that God would direct our hearts into the love of God, that God would direct our hearts into the patient waiting for Christ. And I'm so excited to know those truths again and to bring that back here, to be able to look at every one of you and say, you're God's elect, you're his, and God's working for your life. And when I work with you, I can think about that, and likewise. And it was amazing to see that in flesh and bone, and to see people walk that way and to work that way, and to really see how that created the atmosphere where God's word could live and move and just be powerful like it is in the word of God. And so that's what I have.
Phil had his appendix out this week. Really, it's not a joke. And I thought, boy, where else would you have somebody who had something like that happen, rush to the hospital, all this other stuff, and when you ask them about their week, they tell you about what they learned in Thessalonians. You know, fantastic. That's the kind of week it was, though, huh? All right, Rosie.
Hi, my name is Rosie Carter. I'm 16 years old, and this is my fourth year at teen camp. My voice is still small. No, but I'm 16, and I learned a lot this week. And like Tom said, I could go on and on and on for like 3 hours just telling you how much I learned and what it was like in Thessalonians and all that stuff. But what I really wanted to share was what kept him going. What kept Paul going a day and a night in the ocean? Why did he stay alive? He could have just drowned right there. Why not just give up and his next moment would be Christ's return? But what kept him going? And we went through all these people, and we went through Hebrews 11 about all those people who believed, and they had like some pretty tough times. They got cut in half for what they believed in too. And one specific person I wanted to share about was Elijah. We learned about Saturday morning before we left. He was a prophet, of course, and there was this problem in Israel. He was a prophet in Israel, and they served Baal. There was about 450 prophets who served Baal, and he was the one who served the Lord. And he just, he went through some pretty tough times too, but what kept him going was what? Was the hope that there was going to be a coming Messiah. And it was just so awesome to see someone who got so troubled, and he had to run for his life, and all these things, and, you know, you know, at one point in time, he just wanted to die. He wanted to lay down and just die right there. But and then, okay, let me show you this cool thing. He, there was this earthquake that went by. Blah, 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 blah. Was God in there? No. There's a fire that went by. Was God in there? No. But then right after that, there was a still small voice, and that was God. And there's this verse in Psalm chapter 50, verse 10, a part of it, the first part, says, "Be still and know that I am God." And so many people think in the world today that you always have to be entertained 24/7, you know. If I'm at home, I need to have something on going in my mind. I can't be still. But, you know, God's that be still and know that I am God. Know who that is. You know, take time with your Heavenly Father and just know who He is. And you'll be amazed. And that hope that keeps you going for us is Jesus Christ's return. And it doesn't matter what tribulation we go through, because we know that in the end, it's going to be worth it. You know, Jesus Christ is going to be there. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. You know? And you think about it, and it's true. And the light affliction we have now isn't compared to what glory is going to be there at the end. You know? And, I mean, people may walk in love with you, but what if one day they don't? Then what do you do? Was that what was kept keeping you going? Because if it was, it's not going to last forever. So you need to have that hope inside, you know, that Jesus Christ will return and that will keep you going. I think that's all.
Hi, I'm Brian Murko. I'm 19 and I'm from California. And this is my second year at Teen Camp. And first of all, I'd just like to say how much love I saw there. People were all walking in love. We were like-minded. It was just such a blessing to see that. And it was one of the few times I've actually seen that where so many people were walking in love. And I was just amazed. And so many of the friends that I made here, they set examples for me to know that, yes, I can stand on the Word. Yes, you know, even if there's persecution, I can always stand on the Word. And, you know, even if people weren't standing on the Word, I could still stand on the Word. I saw that in God's Word. That it doesn't matter because God can back me up. And it was just such a blessing. And I came in there and I was thinking, oh, I wish I could come out here more often and just be around all these believers and all this. But then I thought, well, wait, I'm needed where I'm at too. I mean, I'm out in California and I'm needed, you know, for people that maybe don't know the Word as much, or people that, you know, I can preach Christ to, that there's a dying world out there. And we can just all serve God, and God's constant. God's the same everywhere. He doesn't change, and we have a relationship with Him. And I really realized my sonship rights, how I can just come to God and for just anything. And one thing I used to think about was, how come I'm so different from the world? How come they don't like me? How come I'm so different? Well, I really realized that we are sanctified. We're set apart from the world, and it doesn't matter. I mean, living for God is just, it's just better, because most of our entire existence is going to be spent in eternity with God. And so it really doesn't matter. This life is so, almost nothing compared to eternity. And like I heard, you know, we should spend our lives thinking about, in light of eternity, you know, walking with God and helping others out, because that's going to carry us on much more in eternity than it would in here on earth. And I just realized, yes, this is my life. This is what we live for. And I can speak it to others so much boldly and not care what they think. And it's just so great. I think that's it.
Hi. Good morning. It's my first year at Teen Camp. I'm 19. Heidi Papworth's my name. I had a great time. I don't even know where to start, you know. I guess I'll start with, I found a favorite song, and Psalm 100. I would have never known that was my favorite if I didn't go to Teen Camp. So I hope I didn't make any of you guys hate it. So I'm like, can we sing it again? Yeah. But besides that, I saw the power of God, you know. Okay, I don't want to cry. And like, he didn't, God didn't send me a burning fire to show me his power. Or, you know, ravens as sandwiches. You know, he sent me 140 miniature Jesus Christ running around, you know? Like, I saw for the first time, like, wow, this is like real, you know? Like, the word is me, like, for me. It's not a bunch of dead guys, like, oh, I'll read this before I go to bed, or I'll take it to Starbucks and read for an hour or two. It's like, me, you know? Like, how cool is that? And I saw for the first time, like, these people love me and they don't even know me. You know, I've never been in love. Like, they tell me they love me. I'm like, yeah, cool. But then by the end, like, I love you too, and I meant it, you know? Because, like, we can love because of him, you know? Like, how cool is that? So I had an amazing time. Like, everyone blessed me so much, and I'm glad. Thank you for getting me in. Like, I barely even got in, like, you know? So you guys are all great. I love you.
Okay. Hi. I'm Rachel Schick. I'm 17 years old. This is my fifth year at camp, and it was a really great week. I learned a lot, but there's this one thing that really stuck out to me, and that was just being holy. And, you know, I always thought of that like, okay, I'm holy, so when I mess up, God still sees me as holy, which is awesome, because that's a great comfort, knowing that nothing you can do can separate you from that. But then we learned, you know, we are holy. So, you know, God, we are God's elect. We are righteous. God has paid a price for us. You know, we're his, and so we should act like that. You know, we're not of this world. It's not going to be, like, we're not going to be blessed acting like we are in the world, because that's not who we are. We're holy, and so we just need to make that known, you know, act like that, just, and we'll be blessed. And I don't really have that much to say. That was pretty much it, but I guess I could say a few more things. But, there's the truth of, you know, the three main epistles, and that was, you know, Romans, Ephesians, and Thessalonians. And, you know, Romans is like great truth of believing, and Ephesians, great truth of love, and then Thessalonians is hope. And, you know, you can know everything there is to know about Romans and Ephesians, but if you don't have the hope to, like, stand on that and to make that known, like, what good is it going to do you? So I just, you know, that just became a reality to me. Just the hope just became a part of me, and it's really awesome. And I guess that's about it, so thanks. And, oh, sorry. I just want to exhort you all just to, you know, pray for each other, and because we are in this body and we need each other. So that's about it. Okay, thanks.
My name is Kevin Hurley, and I'm 41. And what I learned this year at teen camp is that I think it's very evident of the fruit that we see here. It was so peaceful, and there was a lot of love and a lot of joy. And I learned that the fruit follows the word of God being believed, and that it's nothing to do with youthful enthusiasm. It's nothing got to do with the age group. It's got to do with God's word being believed. And that can work. Doesn't matter if you're 41, 61, 91. You can still have the joy. Just believe God's word. Thank you.
My name is Amanda Greetham, and I'm 15 years old. I really saw the power of God this week. And I guess all I'd really like to say is that I'd like to exhort you guys to walk with God, because when you believe everything in his word, the fullness that he made it to be, the fact that he sent his son for each one of you, and the fact that we have all things through Christ, and that you can pray to God for anything on your heart, and you're going to get your needs met. We have so much in Christ, and that just really blessed me this week, to see everyone walk in love. And we can have that every day of our lives, no matter where you are, if you're in New Zealand, or if you're in Columbus, Ohio, or if you go out to a fellowship where you live and there's two other people standing on God's word, you can believe God. And through your believing, you can move mountains. That's all.
Hi, my name is Andrew Parkhurst, and this is my teen camp is so vital and just so big, and yet I'm like waiting for teen camp to start because it went by too quick, you know. And but one of the really great things that Thessalonians starts out with is how Paul was a leader to the Thessalonians, because it talks about in Acts how Paul could only, you know, he was only there for 2 weeks, 3 weeks tops, and yet Thessalonians was like the one of the most mature and example churches in all the New Testament. And just, we talked about a Greek word, tupos, and that means how Paul, as a leader, was an example. Tupos means like to be stamped, as in something comes out just like the other one before it. And Paul had, you know, a tupos, and his example was the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he was a tupos to the people in Thessalonica, and they came up to, you know, like Paul. And then the people in Thessalonica, when they held forth the word, they were tupos. They were examples to everyone else. And that's how we can be in this world. And at teen camp, it was it was amazing to me to see all the examples there. And some of the most vital ones weren't, the usual ones, the older ones that I always look up to. But the ones that really blessed my heart were the younger ones. The believers that maybe didn't know that much, chapter and verse, or knew everything that maybe some of the older ones did, but their heart, it was amazing. Their fire, their love for God, was just such a burning example to me. I mean, at my second day of camp, a couple of young boys walked up to me, and they asked me, "Hey, can we get into God's Word?" And I was like, "Yes, let's do it." You know, like that fire. Like, I remember my years of teen camp. I wasn't like that, but to see how much, like, just the younger teens are example and grew, and just loved God so much. It was just amazing to see that, and then it was amazing. One of the teachings talked about, if you're doing what God, you know, says, you know, telling you to do, then there's no, that, like, if you're a leader and God's telling you, oh, well, that's your ministry, be a leader. Hey, that's great. At the end of the day, if you were doing what God says, that's great. If God's telling you to help in the kitchen, mop or sweep, or do whatever in the body of Christ, in that love behind every action, then that's what, and at the end of the day, you can say, hey, I did what God wanted. And it really didn't matter if you were a leader or anything like that, because the real, a leader was just a servant, you know, a leader was to serve everyone else. And we can all be that example, those leaders, to everyone else, because it's all about service and love. And as long as the motive behind every action is love, then we're all going to be examples. And then, you know, when maybe a new believer comes to fellowship and we're walking in that love, you know, not all of us are going to be up here teaching or, you know, being that, but if we're doing what we're doing, then they can know, you know, that they have a part in the body of Christ too, just as important as every single one of us. And that's what really blessed me this year. Thank you.
Okay, just that. Pretty much, my name is George James, and this is my first year at teen camp, and I'm 18. And I just want to say that this week was the best week, bar none, of my life. Just with, you know, I was talking to a few people, and I was like, you know, if someone gave me $250 million yesterday to keep me away, I would have came. And I would have been more than happy with coming and not even thinking about that $250 million, because this stuff is stuff that's going to last for a lifetime. And before I came to teen camp, that day before I came, the adversary is really trying to hold me back from coming, like literally hold me back. And it was great to just know that that was going to happen. And even though the person who was holding me back, you know, didn't know that wasn't going to happen, I knew, because I knew there's nothing that could keep me from going to this teen camp. And something that really blessed me this week was with Paul and how the things that he went through, and he died often, you know, And, you know, right when he died and when he arose again, you know, it was just like nothing happened. You know, he just went back to preaching God's word and going to the places where people killed him before and just like, oh, you know, let's keep on preaching God's word. You know, and that was just so amazing how he calls everything he went through light affliction. You know, I was thinking, you know, the stuff I went through, you know, I thought was a big deal. I was like, that's nothing compared to, you know, the stuff he went through. And it really just blessed my heart because it set a great example, you know, how he went through so much. And he knew that the hope of Jesus Christ's return was just so much bigger. And that's how, at the end of the week, I could figure out, that's how he could call it light affliction. Because anything that goes on in this world really is light affliction, because the hope of Jesus Christ's return is just so, you know, amazing compared to everything else. And something I also thought was really, really cool was how Tom was teaching how we are the light of the world. And by us being here, we're holding down the darkness, you know, the things that the adversary can do and things like that. I thought that was really neat because, you know, sometimes you think, oh, you know, I'm not that significant and, you know, I'm not this and I'm not that. But every one of us has that light that we're all working together to hold it down. And when we're not here anymore, you know, obviously it's not going to be held down. But that also really blessed me. And something that in a teaching was, Tom was saying, you know, why do you do the things you do? You know, I was really, you know, he was explaining it like, you know, even simple things like, you know, what's for dinner? You know, I was like, you know, how does that have to do with anything? But he explained it and he was like, you know, well, if you're asking what's for dinner, then it's for your personal gain. You know, what am I going to be eating tonight? You know, not something else. And I thought that was really cool because it made me think about, why do I do the things I do? And why do I say the things I say? And I realized that early in the week, I was like, you know, hi, you know, how's everybody doing? And things like that. But I thought something that would bless people more and be more profitable would be to say, instead of, you know, hi, how are you doing? Say, you know, do you need anything? You know, what can I pray for you? You know, is there anything on your heart that you would like to go through with me, you know, in the word? And, you know, really just something more profitable than just saying, hi, how are you doing? And pretty much, I was just very blessed with the whole week. One thing that was really cool was with Brian Williams. He was having a hard time sleeping. And I asked him, you know, Brian, can I pray for you, you know, help you sleep? He's like, sure, that'd be great, you know. And that night, you know, he went to sleep, and the next morning I was like, so how'd you sleep? He was like, oh, wonderful. He was like, oh, I slept great, you know, the best ever. I was like, oh, great, you know, and God does deliver, and he is faithful, and I really learned that throughout this whole week, that just more and more he proves himself, even though he doesn't have to us, you know, he's God, you know. He doesn't have to prove himself to us, but he does, just so that we could be blessed, and that we can know more and more that the more and more he proves himself to us, the more and more we believe everything else in this world, like the hope of Jesus Christ's return, which is going to happen. And pretty much that's all I wanted to say this morning.
We've got a few more here, but before we get to the tail end, I'm not going to command anybody. I'm going to be like God. I'm going to beseech you. But I think there are a few of you, particularly among some of the fellowship leaders, maybe even one or two of the staff, who really saw God this week in a big way, either in your own heart or in something you experienced. And you know, I'm not going to make it come up. Don't feel bad if you don't. But I think some of you have some things burning in your hearts, and for whatever reason, you think you share too much already. Or I think these guys ought to hear from me. I think it'd be a loving thing to do. So if that is you, apparently it was. Good. And it may be a couple more of you. If that's the case, you still have time here, okay? Who's next? Oh, Amber, good. God bless.
Hey, God bless. My name's Amber Snyder. I'm 17, and this is my fifth year at teen camp. And I just don't know where to start, but there was a lot of things shared this week that really blessed my heart. One was that God is beseeching us to walk with him. God is beseeching us to let him help us. And what really blew my mind was that, first of all, God sent his only begotten son to die for us just so that we could be called his kids and so that we could have this amazing hope. And after that, he's begging us to walk with him. He's begging us to just want Jesus Christ to come back so that we can get rewards in heaven. And it just really blew my mind because I remembered in the Old Testament, there were very few who had the privilege of speaking with God. There are very few who really had a walk with God. And I was just so thankful to be living in the age of grace and just so thankful that God did all that he could for us and there's nothing else to be done. And we just really need to let go and let God, you know? Sometimes I find myself being my own worst enemy in my brain. But when Jesus Christ comes back, we won't have our old brains anymore. And I'm just so thankful that he's coming back. Also, something that was really cool was when Jesus Christ comes back, you know, there's going to be the book of Revelation and everything. But the thing that's really awesome is that's part of our hope. That's part of our hope that we are going to be with Jesus Christ when we come back to this earth. And there's this really wonderful woman of God named Liz Yale, who's just the sweetest girl. And Tom brought her up and said, this lady right here is going to make the adversary poop his pants. And it just really opened my eyes that that's part of our hope. We're going to come back here and kick butt. And we can look forward to that. I'm excited about that. And when Tom said, hey, I'm excited to come back and kick the crap out of all these people, because it's a righteous thing with God that he does bring tribulation back to those who trouble us. And there's good reason for that. And I just kind of laughed, and I realized that the adversary is probably really upset right now, because we're all laughing in his face about what's going to happen to him. And but, you know, teen camp is wonderful. You grow so much in teen camp, and you really see God more real to your life. But we can do that here. We have each other here to exhort each other, to comfort each other. And it just really blessed me. Oh, one other thing was my fellowship leader. She was a really big blessing in my life, but we were talking one time about how I have a pet peeve about alarm clocks. I don't like them. I don't like to be woken up to them. And she said, hey, God can wake you up. And I was thinking, I was like, that would be such a better way to wake up to the day. Like, you know, 2:30, time to wake up Amber. God bless, wake up, you know? And I did that. And after lunch, I was extremely tired and I wanted to get the most of the teachings, but I hadn't showered like all day. But I decided to take a nap anyways, and I needed to wake up by 2:30 to sign a cloud for Tom and Jeff. And it was just this little thing, but it blessed me so much because God is faithful. He is our God. He is, you know, like Kevin was saying, whether you're 61 or 11. And it just blessed me because I woke up and I thought it was 3:05 or 3:35. And that everybody had already gone to their fellowships, and I was like scrounging around. And Laura Biederman came in, and I said, hey, what time is it? She's like, well, it's 2:30 exactly. So I went upstairs, and I signed the cloud, and I was like, I was just praising God for waking me up at 2:30, you know? It was really amazing. But if nothing else, I just exhort you guys to love each other and to endeavor to keep the unity and the bond of peace, because that's what we're here for. We're here for each other and to shine as lights in the world, and all of us can do that, not just fellowship leaders. So, and if anybody ever wants to, like, call and pray with me or read the word with me, please do, okay? I love you. That's it.
Hi, I'm Brendan Kelly, and this is my second year at teen camp. I'm 14, and it was just really a blessing because everybody there was walking in love. There was hardly any, like, strife, confusion. It was just a great time, just believers surrounding me. And one of the things that really hit me was we learned some about the day of the Lord, when we're going to come down, and, you know, the people in this world that rejected us are going to get punished. And I just really thought, you know, those people, school or work, you know, that maybe I never talked to, or, well, actually I don't work, but any of you, you know, that just I didn't talk to because they'll never reject me. But it's like, why? Just believe in God. He's going to help you. And it's just the day of the Lord in, like, Joel 2 and Revelations, like, 8 and 9. It's when you read about that and you think, well, I didn't speak to them. You know, maybe they're gonna be there. They're going to be punished, like, horribly. And I need to talk to them. Make sure that they'll always, you know, they'll be with me and with the Lord. And it's just so wonderful. That's all I want to share, so thank you.
Carter, I'm 22, and, there was a lot of things that were really, really awesome about this week. I'm so blessed that I get to keep coming. I'm going to keep trying to come, but it's because the word's taught there, and they let me come. And at first, it's, you know, a couple weeks beforehand, I always get this feeling that I'm too old. I don't know why, because when I get there, I see that the Word of God's living in these people. They're not kids. They're, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I could care less if they were 12 or 80, because they're preaching the Word to me, and I need that. And they're really, I don't know, the best thing to me was that we have one hope. We're all so different in this world, but we have that same Holy Spirit, so we're brothers and sisters. We all have little things that we look forward to in our lives, that we pray to God for. You know, we have different tribulations, whatever, but there's still one adversary, and we have one Savior, Jesus Christ, and He's coming back. And we all have that same hope when we have Holy Spirit inside of us. And it's amazing to look around at everybody and go, hey, you know what? We're looking towards the same day. We're looking for Jesus Christ to come back. No matter what we get caught up here in this world, it's Jesus Christ is coming back for you. I can help you remember that, and you can help me remember that. That was the biggest thing. I was so blessed to learn about it and to be able to, I don't know, because now I know about our hope, and I can share it with you and hope that you remind me too. We just have one hope. That's the biggest thing that I was so blessed with. That's it.
Hi, I'm Josh Thomas. I've been coming to teen camp for a while now, but this is the first time that I've actually been able to share about it on a Sunday morning. I can honestly say that my life is as a product of teen camp, but also, I guess more accurately would be my life is a product of the Word of God that was taught to me and that I chose to believe. The examples that I've seen at teen camp through Tom and Jeff and the staff and the teens when I first started coming to teen camp has allowed me to get to the place in my life where I've got believing in myself and I know God's word for myself and I'm able to stand. And so teen camp is wonderful, and I've the first years when I started coming to teen camp, I couldn't wait to get back the next year because I thought that it was in the camp. And I've come to see that it's not in the camp, but that it's in the Word of God, and it's in the Word of God believed. And I know people have said that, and you hear that probably every year. You can do this too, but you really can't. And I think an exhortation for you guys to be able to do that is look at Thessalonians. Look at the church in Thessalonica and how they received the Word of God. They had the Word of God taught to them for a period of about 3 weeks, and it was with much affliction, and they received it with joy. And they were not flimsy believers. They were not flimsy believers at all, because they had a work of believing. They believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They took that believing and served with that, and they loved, and they also were looking for the hope of Jesus Christ's return. And they were the fully educated believers. They were standing on God's word strong, and they received it with much affliction. And teen camp, the way it's set up, is I'm so thankful for it. Everything that the staff and Tom and Jeff did was so we didn't have to think about anything but the Word of God. When we woke up in the morning, breakfast was ready for us. We didn't have to do anything in the world. People would go to town for us if we needed anything. And so it was just such a great time to be able to, all you have to think about is the Word of God. But see, the thing is, the Thessalonian believers, they had a lot of other stuff that they could have thought about, and they had a lot of stuff going on in their town. You know, you can read about it in Acts 16 and 17, or I think it's Acts 17. So, I mean, that's my encouragement. The Word of God says that you can have the Word of God and believe it, not because you go to teen camp, but because the Word of God is true and God is faithful. So, thank you guys. Love you.
Hi, my name's Stephanie Schott, and I'm from Tennessee, and I almost didn't come up and share because I was like, well, all these northern people don't want to hear from a little southern girl that they don't know, and then I got over it, and I realized that I'm in the same family that you are. I got to lead a fellowship this year, which was such a blessing, and I've just been, I've been to teen camp for 6 years, this is my sixth year, and the beginning years I really saw the love that God had for me, and I'm sure you can see the love that He has for you too. If you don't, then you need to, because it promotes a great desire in your heart, and that's what it did for me, just to serve people, to serve God and His family. And at the Leaders Weekend, we saw in 1 Timothy 3 a lot of things about being an overseer and about leading God's people, and one of the things that really blessed me was that we are to be no striker. and that means that you're not always on a crusade. And that was a great example for me because I work a lot, and I have to work out 20 minutes a day, and I have to get this many hours of sleep, and I have to do this or I'm not blessed, you know. And I got over that, and it made me so much more able to serve. You know, you just get rid of those little things that become important and become above God. You know, they sneak up. It's like, if I don't get my exercise or my nutrition or whatever, my prayer time that I have to have, you know, or just whatever. Nothing has to be above serving God, and just make yourself open to Him. That really blessed me. I just went into teen camp saying, okay, God, what can I do for you? Just anything. Just with an open heart, whatever it is. You know, so many times our personal desires and our personalities can get in the way of it. And you just say, I mean, when you realize what God has done for you and where He's brought you, what He's brought you out of, then you want to do anything to bring other people out of that. And I just exhort you guys to just serve with that kind of heart. Always knowing what God's done for you and always just being thankful. And it'll really bless your lives. It blessed me.
Hi, I'm Bridget Burke, and I'm 18, and this is my sixth year at teen camp. And this year I really saw God's faithfulness, and I learned that obstacles easily arise when you set out. I came to the camp and I thought, okay, this is going to be the week where I do what God needs me to do, and that, you know, I'd wake up in the morning and I'd just be ready to go and I'd do whatever God made me do. And, you know, the first thing that happened, something happened that what presented itself as an obstacle to me being able to serve God. And I realized that when you decide that you want to live for God, you know, everything's not, all of a sudden, everything's great. And I'm doing what God wants me to do, and everything's perfect, and nothing ever goes wrong. And that wasn't true. And I really saw that, you know, by me going to God and expecting an answer, and expecting that God would come through, He did. And I was able to serve God like I needed to, and to do what I need to do that week. And I saw that God's faithfulness is not the same as man's faithfulness. That if I say I'm going to do something, a lot of times I don't. Or a lot of times people in the world, they don't. And I can't go to God and expect Him to be like men. You know, God's not a man. And He's always going to be faithful. And I saw that, I really saw that what faithfulness really means. That God is there 100% of the time, and if you are not going to limit God, then He is certainly not going to limit Himself in your life. And what a joy it was to see, when I was walking in love and I was putting on the Word in my mind, that I was able to do what I needed to do, and that God was always there. And I really saw that this week, and it blessed me so much that I learned when you go out with that mentality, you just wake up in the morning and you pray to God, God, what do I need to do for you today? That you're never going to not be capable of that. That God can make you able. And I really saw that I was never losing. You know, I think, oh, I didn't get enough sleep tonight because I had to go deal with this situation or whatever. And it's, oh, no, what am I going to do? And I saw that, you know, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. Because God wants you taken care of, yeah. And if you're willing to do what He wants done, then how could you ever lose, you know? And the great joy that you find when you know, you know, you go to sleep at the end of the night and you know that you did what God wanted you to do. And I really learned what a powerful thing that is. And that's it.
My name is Luke Hill, and this was number 6, I think. I am 17 years old. I don't know how that worked out. But it worked out. Yeah. God. But it's always been such a blessing an incredible blessing because it's the word of God that's taught. And as we saw in Thessalonica, they had, in Romans, as somebody said, there's the believing, and then in Ephesians it talks about the body of Christ and the love that really makes that body of Christ move, and then Thessalonians, the hope. And Thessalonians, they had all three of those going on. They had the believing, the great believing, the only believing that is necessary, that believing on Jesus Christ, and then the love of God, and then that hope. And when I was standing in line, kind of thinking about what I was going to say, I saw a little sign up there that says, "May you discover the power to move mountains in your life." And it's nice, but it says in Corinthians 13, though I have the believing, so if God told me, "Oh, you need to move that mountain, Luke," if I had that believing, and if I didn't have the love of God, it profits me nothing. And just to see that love of God moving and working in the body of Christ was amazing. And there's one incident. A friend of mine from Tennessee was there. It was his first year, and he really didn't know how to react to this great love because he hadn't really experienced it that much. And he wasn't really wanting to hear the word from me. At first I was, that's very kind of him to not want to hear the word from me. But then I renewed my mind and I sat back and just started praying for the guy, for my brother. I was sitting in the back of the room. He was in the front of the room, and another believer walked right past him. He stopped, turned around, and started speaking the word to him. They sat down for an hour and a half in the word, and he changed his life. And even if people might not be meek to us for whatever reason, we can still be praying for other people to reach that person. Because if they're hungry for the word, God promises that they will be fed, and that when they believe, then it'll work in their lives. And that was just one thing that I was so blessed to see happen right in front of my eyes. I love you guys. Thank you.
All right. My name is Randy Mullins, and I'm 19. This is, I can't remember how many years I've been going. It's all of them. I don't know if it was 7 or 8. I can't remember. But I had the privilege of being a fellowship leader this year. And it really just blessed my life, seeing how God works in each and every one of us to do His will when we believe in Him. And, I just saw, the first couple days, I was running my fellowship, and we got together, and I could just see that something wasn't there, that something, I didn't really see it, you know? And so I took some time, and I prayed about it, and I was just like, "Father, show me what it is you want me to do with these people, how to reach these people, how to minister to these people." And I just saw that it is God that makes us able ministers, right? He has fully equipped us, and He is faithful that calls who also will do it. And because of that, because I made that decision to let God work, I saw the results in other people's lives too. I saw the word get ministered to people because I decided to let God work. And I saw just the hardest hearts soften to the word. I saw people realize how precious they are to God, what they really mean to Him, and it just touched my heart, saying, "God, work like that." And I just realized there's so many things I could be doing with my life right now. You know, I'm 19. I could be, snowboarding every day, being the best at computers, whatever. But I realized there's no higher calling in life than to walk worthy of God and His calling. And it just blessed my heart so much, seeing people turn their hearts to the Word who have walked away from it, and seeing them recognize God. So, thanks.
I'm Nina McCaw. You can call me Nina. I know some of you asked me this week what name I want to go by, and Nina's fine. I'm 15. This was my third year at teen camp, and something that really just was evident to me this week was about, well, not only the hope, but about awards, about what we will be awarded for. And there was an incident specifically that really, I heard in teachings, "Oh, you'll be rewarded for this, you'll be rewarded for that," but I didn't really see it evident until one night, Nicole, she's a dorm steward, and she was in there at you know, I came in, and it was probably about 12 at night, and I came in to brush my teeth before bed, and she's in there scrubbing the floors and the toilets and the sinks at 12 at night, you know, and she's, you know, not many people are up, pretty much everyone's in bed, you know, but she's scrubbing the floors, and the thing is no one, she wasn't doing it in the day when everyone could see her, you know. She could have done it during the day when people could notice and say, oh, good job, you know. I don't think much, people don't really look at the floors and they're like, oh, wow, they're clean, especially at teen camp, you can't really tell if they're clean or not. But it's just, it was just really cool because she'll get rewarded for that, you know. And you didn't hear her in the morning when everyone's complaining about, I need to take a shower, I need to do this, and you didn't hear her say, everyone move, I need to shower first because I was up at 12 scrubbing the floors. You know, you didn't hear her say that, and you didn't, you know, just the love in her heart to do that, you know, she'll get rewarded for that. And that was amazing to me, just to, you know, an example to me about, you know, you can, no matter what you do, you know, it's the love in your heart that really gets it. But it was like, I don't know, I just think of it like, if someone bought you the hugest grocery store ever, and it has all your favorite foods, every abundant, you, it never runs out of your favorite food, and I give it to you, and I'm saying you can eat whatever you want. Every time you eat your favorite food, I'll give you $20. Oops, sorry. You know, that's kind of how God is. He's given us so much, and he rewards us for responding to what he's given to us. He rewards us for loving back after he loved us first. It's kind of, it's like, how ridiculous, you know? We love back because God loved us, but we get rewarded for that. That's a God. That is our Father. That is someone that we can go to at any time during the day, and we can love as others loved, as Jesus Christ loved, and we're going to get rewarded for that. You know, it just, it's like an example, and it makes you want to stand for God. It makes you say, you know what, I'm going to get rewarded for this. And even if I wasn't, why wouldn't you, you know? Even if you weren't getting it, it's just like a double bonus. And, you know, it's just rewards. And like Jeff said, you know, it's God. He's not going to give us a little cheap little pin, you know, that you'll probably throw away in a year, you know? It's God, and he's given us so much. It's going to be an awesome reward. I mean, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's not going to be something cheap, you know? It's going to be awesome. So that's what really hit me this week. So I thought I'd share it with you.
Hi, my name is Susan Joyce, and I'm from Galway. And I'm very, very blessed to be here. I can't remember whether this is part of the teacher or not, because my mind's gone blank now. But what I learned in teen camp, or what got reestablished in my heart, was that each of us don't have to be everything to everybody. That each of us has been called, each of us has a ministry, and each of us is fully equipped to follow through on that ministry and to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's a cool thing when it dawns on your heart that you don't have to be everything to everybody, that God doesn't expect you to be everything to everybody. And if that's your heart, that's contrary to his will, because we all need each other. And there was a situation arose in teen camp where, you know, somebody needed to be ministered to, and I ministered to them with my ministry. And straight afterwards, somebody had somebody there who showed mercy to that person afterwards. So, you know, if I had tried to be merciful to that person afterwards, it wouldn't have worked. So that really, really blessed me, the peace and the joy and the liberty that's ours to learn to be who we are in Christ. Like, my name is Susan. It's not Kathy. It's not Tom. It's not Heaven, it's not Ruth, it's Susan, and each of us have been called, and our God and Father has made us completely, completely complete in him. We lack nothing. We've been given all abilities, richly blessed in Christ. And if my nature is to be tough, then when the Father needs me to be, I can be tender because of his ability in me. And if my nature is to be soft, when the Father needs me to be tough, I can be tough. And I can trust him to guide my heart and to teach me how to be me in Christ. And it's a wonderful thing to preach Christ to the unsaved, but God has blessed us with each other, and he's equipped us to take care of each other too. So that's what I would exhort us all to do: continue to take care of each other and to be who you are in Christ, and to learn what that is. Thank you.
Okay, my name is Casey McCaw. My fifth year at teen camp, 17. I guess Steffi touched on a little bit about service and stuff. I really realized the difference between going into teen camp with a heart just to learn, but I learned how to go into teen camp. heart to serve God and to do His will, and He will show you things that you can't see with your two eyes, you know. It may not be a broken leg, it may not be evident to see, but it might be something in the heart that you can't. Only you will know if God tells you and if you're listening. And I really just learned to walk with God and just not look by my five senses, just to listen to His voice, and He'll show me things, you know. And crap, I had a lot of stuff to say, but I don't remember anything. Just bless me to see my brothers and sisters in Christ rise up to what God's called them to do. And we all worked as a body this week. I've never seen the body work so well before my eyes, and just to really see everybody just looking to bless each other, and it was just really cool. So that's all I have to say.
This is my fifth year at teen camp, and this year wasn't that anything stuck out more than like that from the heart. It was just, I learned Tom and Jeff were teaching about Thessalonians and the hope, and it was just wonderful. And they also said to go to the Word. And this year, all other 4 years, I was always involved in sports and stuff, and God's with me, it's okay. But this year I spent a lot of time with God, just one-on-one, and I learned so much. And I urge everyone to go to God every moment you can. That's all I want to share.
I've almost got tears in my eyes, too. I didn't go to teen camp. It would have been nice if they wouldn't let me in. I'm speaking on behalf of my three older boys who were at teen camp and couldn't make it this morning. And aside from just being super, super blessed, I mean, they just went on and on Saturday night around the supper table about Thessalonians and Romans and the different church epistles. And I was blessed and touched by the heart that they learned so much while they were there. And, of course, enjoyed it, had a good time, too. You know, it wasn't just all sitting down in front of a Bible. They really enjoyed it. They had a lot of fun. But probably the most important thing in my mind and heart, which is what I'm going to close with, is that Robert, my 15-year-old, spoke in tongues and interpreted. He spoke in tongues and interpreted. Thank you very much.
Well, what's funny is some of the greatest deliverance I saw this week and some of the greatest growth I saw this week, we didn't even get to hear about today. You'll be seeing it, though, you know, because it was genuine. It wasn't the experience, as you could tell. It wasn't the experience that changed these folks. It was the Word of God believed, and that lasts. So you're going to be seeing it in your fellowships in the days and weeks and months and years to come. They taught just about everything I was going to share with you. I guess I could take a minute. You know, as you heard over and over again, one of the things that we endeavored to show from the Word was that in those seven church epistles, which most of you are familiar with, there's those three great topics of believing, love, and hope. Believing dominating Romans and the epistles that follow in terms of how you get born again and how you live as a believer. And then love dominating Ephesians and the epistles that follow in terms of the way we're to live among each other in the body of Christ. And as you heard time and time again, without the hope, though, you're never going to continue doing those things. You'll quit believing. You'll quit loving. Because, you know, it's easy to love when everybody loves you. It's easy to believe when everyone around you is believing. It's easy to love when everyone around you is lovable. That's not always the case, and for most of our lives it probably won't be. But see, people change, circumstances change, locations change, but the one thing that is unchangeable is that God has given an ironclad promise that His Son's coming back for us. And all the things related to that we got into this week, right? What it means about rewards and new bodies and being with Him, and that we don't need to sorrow about those who've fallen asleep the way the world sorrows. And we don't don't need to sorrow about other believers who walked away from the Word the way the world sorrows. It's all there in Thessalonians. And that's the capper. Even though it was the first one given of the church epistles, it's the last one listed because that's the thing that's going to enable us to walk in believing love and hope. I'm not going to take the time to go to verses because we've been sitting here a while this morning, but you can look them up. Thessalonians isn't that long, but that's the thing you see in Thessalonians, which is amazing, is in Romans he thanks God for their believing. In Ephesians he thanks God for their believing and their love. But you get to Thessalonians, and Paul was only there a short time, 3 weeks maximum, and it says he thanked God for their believing, their love, and their hope. And it comes up again and again that they believed God's word, but then above and beyond that, they walked in love towards each other and service to each other, and that they were doing it for the right reason. The thing that kept them going was that hope. It comes up time again. In fact, then there's a little section of 1 Thessalonians that talks about believing. But it starts with, you really don't need that for me to teach you this stuff because you're doing it already. But God's heart is always that we do it more and more, right? And then there's a little section on walking in love, and it says, you really don't need that for me to teach you this stuff because you're doing it already, but God would have you abound more and more in love. And then there's a section about the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he says, you really don't need that I write you this because I taught you all this when I was with you, and you've maintained it. That's 1 Thessalonians, and it's just such a wonderful inspiration. What a church. But what's really interesting is 2 Thessalonians, which was written to the same group of people about a year later. And this is what I want to share with you today. Because when you read the greeting in Thessalonians, he thanks God that their believing is growing. Not only, you know, before you thank God for their believing, now you thank God their believing is growing. He thanked God that their love was abounding. And then he stopped. Remember in the first epistle to that young church, he thanked God for their believing, for their love, and their hope. When he wrote to the 2 Thessalonians, he thanked God that their believing was even greater, their love was even greater, but then he stopped. Which ought to speak loudly to anybody who's actually reading what's written in the Word of God. This great church, this example in all these areas, and two of the three are growing, but where's the third? It's not even mentioned. And you find out that what had happened in Paul's absence, they'd gotten tricked a little bit. They'd gotten deceived a little bit. Somebody had shown up to teach or written something, or they subscribed to a magazine, or some friend in another town said, oh, you really ought to listen to this preacher. He changed my life. However it happened, it caused them to doubt their hope. Somebody came along and said, yeah, what Paul teaches is great, but you know, here's a little bit more. And what it did was it robbed them of their hope. To the point where they weren't even sure whether the gathering together had already occurred or not. And that's why 2 Thessalonians had to be written to reinstill in them that confidence that our hope brings. And to show them that the gathering together cannot have happened yet. I can say that today with absolute authority. There are several reasons given, but the great and most convincing reason of all that you and I can know today that the gathering together has not occurred and that the day of wrath, the day of judgment is not, impending. The one great reason is what? We're still here. None of that stuff in the book of Revelation can happen until you and I have been gathered together. They were beginning to live in fear that the judgment was approaching because of what they listened to, what somebody taught them. And the Apostle Paul had to take them back and say, wait, that judgment cannot occur until the Antichrist arises and there's something to be judged. And the Antichrist can't arise until you and I leave. Like one of the teams shared, it says in 2 Thessalonians, we're holding that stuff down. It cannot occur as long as the pickle jar is there, right? They'll explain that to you later. It can't occur. And see, what great truth. But the great thing about it is, here's a church who was instructed. They were an example, not just to their town, but to the whole region they lived in. And they got robbed. So we can never get so confident, so cocky, so haughty in our knowledge, or in our walk, or in what a great fellowship we have, that we take it for granted. See, because this stuff is it's precious. God tells us to guard it. God tells us to guard it. And we can never get so overly confident that we think it doesn't need guarding anymore. If the Thessalonians, this model church, could get robbed of something so vital, you and I can too. See, so no matter how great it gets, you continue to believe God's word, you continue to grow in walking in love, and you continue to cling to that hope, and don't let anything else in. See, because they got robbed. And if they got robbed, none of us are so perfect or high and mighty or so far developed, and no church is so far developed that we can't get robbed too. See, may we never start. You know how much I love this fellowship and the love that we see here and the way people are growing and believing God's word. And I trust it's the hope that that is motivating it. And some of you have moved here just to be a part of that. And that's wonderful. But, you know, we're still people. It's still vulnerable. This word of God living in people is a fragile, fragile thing that must be guarded closely with diligence, never letting up, if it's going to live and continue to grow. See, thank God that God had the ministry of the Apostle Paul to bring them back, because as you read the close of Thessalonians, that his prayer for them is that they're going to continue believing, continue loving, and then also the hope is brought back in, continue standing upon the reality of that hope. And that's what that letter accomplished for them. But you know, there isn't always going to be somebody to write you an epistle. But if you and I continue to determine together to stand upon God's word together, to comfort each other when we need comforting, exhort each other when we need exhorting, and don't take BS for the word. Doggone it, if it's not the word, then we love each other enough to teach each other that, to stand upon that, to say, I love you, but this isn't the word of God. To bring each other back, because we're all vulnerable. You know, we all have those moments. We all have sometimes those weeks, those months, those years. And the greatest lesson to me, perhaps, of the whole week was not only how great believing, love, and hope were, because I was expecting to teach on that, but seeing in Thessalonians how quickly that hope got stolen. And when that's stolen, if the adversary steals your hope, how long are you going to keep believing and loving? Just as long as you feel like it. See, because all you got left really is feelings and momentary things like, I like the people I'm with, so I believe the word with them. And that stuff can change so quick. See. So you want a summation of what we got into this week? You pretty well heard it today. But, you know, for my mind and heart, listening as well as teaching, the great thing that struck me about that wonderful church, I thought about our wonderful church. And I thought, you know, nothing wrong with praising God and thanking God for what is a reality, which he did with them. You're growing and believing, and your hope is growing, your love is growing, and even at first in Thessalonians, he thanked God for the way the hope was a reality in their lives. Nothing wrong with that, but let's never take that for granted, okay? So I hope these sharings today have been a blessing to you. They sure have to me, and like I said, the greater testimony, I think, of the Word of God taught and the Spirit of God imparted is going to be some changed lives you see in the weeks and months, so watch out, okay?